Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Tiny Shutter Podcast. This is a show all about iPhone photography all of the time. And every now and then we'll include video because I just discovered it is awesome. I am Mark Sadowski.
I'm Matt Hoffman.
And I'm Joseph Ferrer.
And joining us this week as a special guest, we have the bread geek himself, Jeff Simpson. How's it going, Jeff?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me today.
You know, it's weird because I always want to call you Bread instead of Jeff. So, like, your nickname is now your real name to me.
Yeah,
my brain got mixed up, so my apologies, but Bread Geek sounds awesome.
That's easy.
To mix his brain up?
Yeah. No, I cough button. I'm still clearing my throat this week. Bread Geek is a big contributor to the Tiny Shutter feed on Instagram. This is where we discovered him and picked him out of the crowd, and we are molding him. And one day he will strike me down and take my place in the dark side.
He's already really close to doing that.
I know. In fact, the reason why we have Bread Geek on the show this week is because on Saturday, well, oh my God, is somebody getting the gun ready? Who's doing all that noise?
I think that was Jeff.
Could have been my chair moving, wiggling.
He says as he cocks the gun. You know, this is red light that's been pointing through my window this whole time. I don't know. We recently had our Tiny Shutter / Lens Wipe Lenscursion trip out in the White Mountains over the weekend, and we brought him in to talk about the trip. And but before we do that, let us do some news.
News team, assemble!
So Petapixel has this interesting article that talks about the Chicago Tribune and the Chicago Sun-Times, the difference in covers. So I thought it was a good observation between what it's like to have an iPhone photography reporter and an actual photojournalist photographer. And the side-by-side covers were pretty telling until you read the very end of the article and see the actual cover. So it was kind of a bittersweet moment. Anyway, so they went, did we just lose Joe?
I don't know.
Yeah, who did we lose?
You got me still?
Lost Matt.
Did we lose? No, it said you went offline.
Me?
Yeah.
I heard a clunk and then, oh, okay.
Oh, the joys and trials and tribulations of Skype. How we hate Microsoft still.
Oh.
And they expect, they can't get Skype to work, and they expect their phone to be awesome.
Yeah.
Good luck figuring that one out, Microsoft. Anyway, go on, Joe.
So the Times, we got the Sun-Times and the Tribune, and they were showing front pages of both.
Well, the initial article, if you look at the Petapixel link, which you'll find on the Tiny Shutter, what's it called? Notes there. Show notes.
Show notes.
Wow. Can you tell I don't do those? It has a side-by-side with the Chicago Tribune with this great, awesome photo. It looked like they used a fisheye. And then the Chicago Sun-Times with this just really half-assed picture and a lot of big text with red background. And it turns out that this is not the actual cover to the Chicago Sun-Times. If you scroll all the way to the bottom of the article, you'll see a proper photo with the Stanley Cup champions and all that jazz.
What?
Yes, I see that.
So, but I mean, for a moment I thought that, you know, not that I'm trying to knock iPhone photographers. iPhone photographers are really great. I think
Be careful now.
Oh, you, no, I totally get it.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a whole show dedicated to it. But it's really, I think what people are trying to do is show, people feel bad for the photojournalists that lost their jobs. And I'm wondering, I doubt it, I really doubt it, but I'm wondering if that bottom image that the Chicago Sun-Times has, is that an iPhone photo or is that that a pro camera shot? Because it's hard to tell because the image still looks a little on the, I don't want to say grainy side, but it's kind of...
Sure.
I don't know. It's hard to tell how close they were to the... Because it's still on the ice. And if he's passing by holding the cup, you know, it's feasible that they could have... It could have been an iPhone photo. What do you guys think?
I think it could be if they were just right there next to the boards.
Yeah.
And it could look like that. They could have zoomed in with their iPhone just a touch too and definitely would have given you that effect.
Now, okay. The image, I don't know if the Tribune, if it's just because of their color printing, but doesn't it look a little iPhone-ish to you?
Yeah, that's what I mean. It looks a little iPhone-ish. that's a new word now, by the way.
Yeah. Like the fisheye effect-ish kind of thing?
Well, no, I'm thinking more of the low light grainy.
Uh-huh.
Because green, you know, a lot of times with my 3GS, if I was to bring out a lot of color, it would turn green.
For sure.
If I was trying to get some light out of it, it would turn green. There's a lot of green in the shadows.
But yeah, I think it's because there's just a lot of green in the area, because if you look above
it. Yeah.
It also looks like it was taken with an SLR very, very suddenly. Matt, what do you think?
I'm right now just listening to you guys. I'm wondering, does it matter like what camera it was taken with? It's a cool picture and it's leaps and bounds better than the Chicago Sun-Times
photo. Well, the Chicago Sun-Times is the one that laid off all their photojournalists. That's
what I realize that. That's the whole point of the article, but
I'm trying to create a conspiracy.
I guess my point is, who cares what camera the Chicago Tribune person took the picture with? It's a cool picture.
Yeah, for sure. It's not the camera, I guess they say, right?
That is what they say.
Yes, I agree. I agree with you, Mark.
That was.
I mean, Matt. Sorry.
I knew what you meant.
The other thing I wanted to bring up, and this has been something that I've been toying with for a while. In fact, I wanted to do a Harvard thesis on this, but Harvard wouldn't let me, mainly because I'm not a Harvard student. I tried to do the whole Steve Jobs things where he just went to the school and tried to do that for free. Turns out they don't want you doing that. And Harvard has a really great security team. The only reason why they didn't press charges is because I uncovered that the fact that when they do mugshots, they use their iPhones. They laid off their entire mugshot staff. And so they said, you know what? We'll call it a freebie and just get out of here. So anyway, the thesis I have is life is not black or white. It is red and blue. And everything is red versus blue in life. And you find this all the time in like corporations fighting one another, right? So look at the Chicago Tribune and the Chicago Sun-Times. These are two competing newspapers. Chicago Tribune has taken the blue stance, and Chicago Sun-Times has taken the red stance. And this is a naturally occurring thing in our life, I guess. You find it everywhere. Like, take Coke and Pepsi. Coke is red, Pepsi is blue. You take Burger King. The predominant color in Burger King is blue, and the predominant color in McDonald's is red within their stores. Anyway.
What about Apple and Samsung?
See, that's where it kind of falls apart. And I don't think we've given them enough time to actually form a red versus blue, because this is something that naturally occurs in life. Like Target and Walmart. Target over time became very blue themed, and Target, well, I guess Target's always been red. So
you mean Walmart?
Walmart. What did I say?
Target.
Target. Yeah, Target's red and Walmart's blue. Sorry, my bad. You know what? You don't have the Samsung and Apple example, but you do have Verizon and AT&T.
That is true.
Yeah. So something to think about.
I'm going to have to start looking for that now.
It's totally everywhere. I gotta play this.
That's right.
And if we're talking about red, you know, versus blue, we can't forget about the never-ending feud between strawberries and blueberries.
It's been bloody. It's like Game of Thrones epicness over time. It's just been, yeah, that's a big conspiracy. Let's not say any more because we might get killed.
Yeah, I'm not taking sides.
No, I'm never taking sides.
I'm like Switzerland.
I choose watermelon. So, anyway, moving on. We have the 645 camera app that just received a huge update. So, Joe, why don't you talk about that since you're the one who still uses that app?
Yeah. Yeah, well, Keith Tharp had texted us saying that the 645 Pro MK2 came out.
Whoever's whispering, we could still hear you.
My wife's chatting with me.
Okay. Yeah, you might want to turn off the mic with that.
I was like, wait, is somebody trying to say? Okay, start over. All right. The 645. Okay, hold on. Clear my mind. All right. We got a text from Keith this week about the 645 Pro Mark II that came out in the app. We've talked about this app before, and it was really a game changer of an app. And when the guys who make 645 brought out PureShot, we ended up dropping 645. Well, I went ahead and I reinstalled it and I checked it out and I really like it. I don't know if I'll use it all the time, but there was a lot of things in it that was, I thought, pretty neat. First, they changed the layout, you know, the user interface. It looks really, it really looks like a Canon, hence the Mark II. And they added filters and different processes, like different films that you can choose, different crops. The filters, they have red filters, blue filters, green filters, yellow. They even have what's it called? My mind just went blank. And I'm trying to pull it up and it won't pull up. The gradients.
I got nothing.
The neutral density filters. Thank you. Are you guys there?
Yep, still here.
Okay, good. And so the neutral, so I've been playing around with that. They got even a little wheel like they do on the Canon cameras that you can increase the filter or decrease it. You can have, you know, fun with that and then be able to, you know, just change it around. So far it's a pretty neat app. I think they are trying to, add some stuff that other people aren't doing. And so, I think they did a pretty good job. How about you guys?
I haven't really used it all that much, over the week. It's, it's just something that didn't strike me as, priority anyway, because we had the trip coming up, so I didn't have time to do any kind of testing with it. But I mean, if you say it's been improved, then I'll give it a try and report on it next week.
Yeah. So, the other thing too,
go on,
that
Matt,
I liked
wait,
about,
hold on. Oh, okay. I think Matt was going to say something.
Joe, do you know like the filters and everything, is that all in real time? Like you could make adjustments and see the results before actually taking the picture?
Yes.
That's cool.
Yeah. So it's all real time and you can switch between them. And I don't know why they're not working right now, but,
what's against them?
So, but yeah, and then there's also a little toggle to get rid of all the extra menu choices when it comes to like white balance, auto exposure, and auto focus. So you can have just those three and the shutter, and they removed everything else, so you won't accidentally trip something up.
Yeah. I'll have to give it a shot. I'll give it a fair shake.
Well, the new interface looks pretty cool. It's definitely a lot more modern than the old one.
Mm-hmm.
It does look like kind of like the back of a Canon camera versus the old interface, which definitely was a lot more dated.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. It's cool. I may put this back on my phone and give it a try, but there's so much competition now.
Yeah.
Even from the same company that makes this app.
Yeah, I know, the PureView.
Yeah, it's for sure.
Jeff, you use the PureView, right?
Yeah, I strictly shoot with Pure.
Nice. Cool.
Oh, so, I know why it's not working. Jeez, I'm a bonehead.
Why?
Oh, I had turned it off in the menu.
Oh, gotcha. So how about this? We'll all give it a Matt and I and Jeff, we'll give it a good test and report sure. back next week.
Hey, and if you guys are looking, you will actually see an image that I shot just now of my microphone while we are recording.
Ah, so very cool.
It's on my Instagram feed.
Yeah, I'm not looking. I'll look later, I promise.
Right.
So moving on to the final bit of news, not really news, but more of a kind of a report, is our trip to the White Mountains. And this was a really cool trip, I got to say. And Joe, it pained us that you were not there. We were going to take a gray card and put your name on it and just have it around with us just to kind of have it in memory of you. But we had the gray card, but we didn't have anything to write on it. So
yes, there was definitely one there.
So you were remembered.
Oh, thanks.
you were with us in gray card.
Yes. your white balance was spot on. This was a great experience because not only did we use regular cameras that we'll talk about on the LensWipe show that we're going to record directly after this one, but we also used iPhone photography. And the reason why I brought Bread Geek on is because he is iPhone photographer and only an iPhone photographer. He used nothing else, which impressed the hell out of me because he took some great slow shutter effects of the waterfalls. You'll be able to see his work on the Tiny Shutter feed on Instagram. Just use the hashtag Tiny Shutter. So I wanted to kind of go around the table and get an idea of what everybody used and, you know, your experiences. So I've already kind of mentioned some stuff that you did, Jeff, so why don't we start with you?
Well, I used, like I said, I shoot with PureShot, so I shot with that for the most part, on the waterfalls, slow shutter for those, of course. What else? And I did use, on some of those photos, you'll notice I did use the Otoclip, the macro on that. Matt and I were able to play around in the field and get some really great shots of flowers as well. But that's pretty much about all the apps that I used.
How about you? How about you, Matt?
You know, I had such a great time on this trip. Like, I literally just want to go out like every day and do the same kind of thing. But you know, I had this thought before we left on the trip about basically using two different apps that do different things to take two different exposures of the same scene,
mm-hmm.
and then blending, like, you know, the best attributes of the photo from each one of those apps together in like another app, like FilterStorm or something like that. So that's what I did for a majority of the pictures that I took on this trip. I used slow shutter cam because most of the time we were photographing waterfalls, so, you know, that it just lent itself to using that app. But slow shutter cam doesn't do a really good job with, you know, getting detail in the shadows and stuff. So I basically would exit out a slow shutter cam and fire up true HDR, take another shot with true HDR, and then later on blend those two together, you know, keeping the blurred water from slow shutter cam and then basically using the rest of the picture from true HDR. And that really gave me the results I was looking for.
That's pretty badass.
Yeah, it was awesome. Or at least I thought it was anyway. And the other thing that I had a great time playing around with too was my diff case, which, you know, everyone that listens to this podcast probably knows I love the diff case. I had the wide angle lens mounted on that thing nearly the entire time that we were out shooting. I just had a blast. I had a really good time. It's really got me fired up for iPhone photography.
That's pretty awesome. In my area, I only did two things. I did either video or I did macro shots. And for the macro side, I brought the Proscope Micro Mobile that I reviewed a little while ago on the show. It's a case with a macro lens that attaches to it, but it's also attached to an LED light that surrounds the lens. So that way you can put it down on your target or your subject and literally get up close and personal because it's just about touching it. And the LED lights give it a nice glow lighting the subject, so you don't get any bad shadows, you don't lose any kind of lights. And I use this to photograph the moss on the rocks. And I posted some of those photos. I haven't posted them on the Tiny Shutter feed, but if you go to casualphotography.net, you'll be able to see some of the shots. And the moss looks like the insect life growing on stuff.
It's like microscopic.
Yeah, it's incredible.
And I think we're all jealous of that that Proscope.
This has got to be the best macro lens for the iPhone ever. I thought the Olo clip was good, but this thing goes above and beyond what the Olo clip is capable of. It's a $150 case. You could get it for the iPhone, any of your iPhones, starting with the iPhone 4, or you could get it for the iPad mini or the iPad. And it doesn't matter which one you get it for, they're all the same price, which is kind of cool. And we have a link on that in our show notes. I love this thing. This thing was totally badass when it came to macro photography. But fear not, the Olo clip did come in handy because the Olo clip has a really cool wide angle lens. And I used that when I was videotaping you guys. I wanted to be kind of the I wanted to be the guy that documented the whole thing so that we could put it on YouTube.
And photojournalist?
No, not photojournalist, a video journalist. I was a douchebag with a camera, basically.
You were the videographer.
Thank you. Yeah, that's
there
the
it is.
There it is. It comes out. So the Olo clip gave a great wide angle because the iPhone kind of does a crop when you're doing the video. And the reason why they do that kind of crop is because they're doing some image stabilization within the program or whatever. So to make up for that crop, the Olo clip's wide angle lens did a phenomenal job of recovering some of that scene. And I haven't finished editing the video because that takes work. Oh man, it's night and day from photography, let me tell you. But we took some great video. In fact, for the first time, one of the first videos I made was the scene where we made it to the waterfall. You guys
That was a good one. Yeah, that was a good one.
You guys have to check out
Is that the one where you're spinning around?
I wasn't spinning. I just went from person to person saying, yay, we made it to the waterfall.
Oh, yeah.
And the last person was Maud Byrne, who wasn't paying attention, and I yelled at him. And in a fit of rage, I shook the camera, which gave some effect. That was my budget of special effects there. Ear had out Michael Bay. But I had a great time with doing video. In fact, I really want to do more video now. I want to give that a try. That's something that I've grossly neglected when it came to doing stuff with the iPhone. And Joe, you've been doing a lot more video than most of us, I think. You said you had a lot of equipment and gear and stuff. So I might have to pick your brain about what you did for like microphones and stuff, because quite frankly, I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, doing video and actually posting video, that's a whole nother ball game.
Oh, yeah. And I'm just getting into it. I'm just starting. Right now, I'm only using iMovie to edit my videos. And the problem is, here's my big problem. I'm still, Matt, help me out here. Who's that dude that did that video on the canoe trip, the kayaking trip?
Oh, you know, every time you ask me this, I forget.
I can never remember his damn name. It's Tim something.
Tim Kempel.
Tim Kempel. Phase One did this great video of this kayak trip, and Tim Kempel, who's a phenomenal photographer who uses the Phase One camera. And I've been watching that video like five times before we went on the trip, and I tried to Tim Kempel it, and I think I did more God, I don't even
Mark Sadowski.
You know what? It's come down to it. I think my name is now a verb for failure. yeah, it's no Tim Kempel, let me tell you. So yeah, but I like video. I've been bitten by that bug now, and I really want to do more and I want to explore more. So I don't know if I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, I have some video apps, but I as far as outlets go, I mean, yeah, there's Instagram, but Instagram, you have to use Instagram to take the video, which kind of bites. I don't know. I'm going to play around with it more, but it's for me, it's been like finding this whole new side of the iPhone that I kind of knew was there, but I just ignored it for the longest time, thinking it was meh. But now I'm like, and I'm like, oh, yeah.
I haven't drank the video Kool-Aid yet.
The video Kool-Aid?
I don't think I've shot one video yet.
It's like raspberry lemonade.
Composition in video is big.
Yes.
So if you want to see, you know, if you want to produce a good video, check out movies, check out other stuff where, you know, I was at dinner today and I was just taking some video of the kids and the wife and, you know, and my son was doing something, but he was in the right, you know, thirds to almost all the way over to the far right where, and then I had a lot of stuff. So sometimes just creating that tension, that drama when it comes to where the person is or where the subject is in the frame can cause the video to become more interesting. If everything that you're doing in the video is dead center, it's boring.
Yes. This is going to be a boring YouTube video that I'm going to make.
No, it won't, because there'll be my video clips in it. It'll be awesome.
Oh, there you go.
It's going to offset it.
So, Joe, you'll be proud of me. I shot video too.
Cool.
You did a great job of videoing me as well. It's a great video.
And I'm happy to report that I was the only one that fell in the river. And by happy to report, I'm embarrassed.
I'm pretty happy about it.
I'm kind of bummed that nobody got that on video. What a wasted moment. It's kind of like if a tree falls in a forest.
Yeah, it's not as much fun when other people don't see it.
Yeah. Oh, well, wasted moment. So let us move on to our post pick of the week.
Wow, that's new.
We had that last week.
Did we?
Yeah.
We did. Oh, man. He played it when you were sleeping.
Oh, okay.
And he played it really quiet because we didn't want to wake you up.
Oh.
Yeah, I, in fact, muted you the whole show.
Yeah.
Anyway, Matt, you have our post pick of the week this week.
I do. And this week it's from a contributor. His Instagram name is MKUltra00. And his image, it's kind of a – actually, Jeff kind of threw this term out there, and it's very accurate. It's kind of a steampunk-looking kind of look to it. It's basically a model. I think she's on the side of a train car, like holding on to like the ladder on the side of a train car. She's got like these crazy goggles that are like, you know, pushed up above her eyes, like up on her head.
Yeah.
The photo is in color, but it's definitely got some filters kind of out the wazoo. A real kind of grungy, I don't know, kind of old-timey kind of look to it.
Like old film.
And then he also added some birds, which for some reason I really like, even though it's starting to become overdone. But it's the birds from an app I still really like a lot called Distressed Effects.
Yep.
I think he did a really good job with the picture. The model's pose is pretty good. And I don't know. It's kind of creepy and kind of cool all at the same time. Not really sure how else to describe it.
No, I think you capture the that mood just right. It's I love that old industrial look with this. Like some people, a lot of people do it wrong. I'll say that. Like they'll take that old stuff and throw a model in there and expect to be Helmut Newton. But this guy nails it.
You know, it looks like a picture from Burning Man.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. That's exactly what I was thinking of.
It definitely has that look to it. And it's just something different. I mean, it's not – this isn't – you know, we go through our Tiny Shutter hashtag all the time and look at all the pictures in the feed. And, you know, there's all kinds of great pictures and all – types of photography that everyone's contributing, but this just stood out as being something really different.
Yeah.
It does help to have, you know, a model with makeup and then, you know, props and you know, this does definitely feels like it was thought out. It wasn't something that just happened.
Yes.
You know, so, you know, when you put forth the creativity and you take the effort to get things lined up, you know, it makes for great images. So, you know, this is definitely not a half-hearted attempt at a great image.
Right.
No, but it just goes to show, you know, if you get your camera, no matter which camera that happens to be, the iPhone or another camera, and you point it at an interesting subject, you're going to get an interesting picture.
Yep. By the way, Joe, I just like that photo you posted on the microphone.
Thank you.
See, I do care. I don't just randomly like your photo and then move on.
What?
I kid. But cool, that's an awesome photo. And that's a – when did he join? Because I haven't seen him before.
I don't know, but – he was just this last week.
Yeah, and he's posted quite a few images.
He's got some good ones.
I think he's in China, so that's pretty cool.
We are worldwide, guys. Made it big. Over 10,000 strong. Posts, rather, not just listeners. Our listeners, we're in the millions.
Yeah. You know, that would be interesting if Instagram was able to put groups together.
What do you mean?
You know, like Flickr has groups. You know, Instagram would have, like, you can click over and see how many people are actually following Tiny Shutter.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, but I see your point.
I could probably say from the number of people that follow me, I would say half of them and being conservative, I would say probably about 150 to 175 are following the show.
That sounds about right. But you know what I will say is that is a great segue to our other point, which is we have a new community group on Google Plus. And we finally bit the bullet and started one there. It was either that or Flickr. And since I kind of did an impromptu, hey, I guess I'll create one on Google Plus, that's how we decided. So there you go. We'll give that a go. But if you do a search for Tiny Shutter in the community group section of Google Plus, or you could just go to tinyshutter.com and click on the show notes, and we'll have a link there. Go ahead and give it a, you know, share your photos, share your videos. The only rule that we have is that you have to take it with your smart device. That's right. We will accept Android people, both of them. I think we do have a few of those, but they have to be created with your smartphone or iOS device. I guess you can use your tablet too, but that's the guideline that we have. And just be kind to everybody who's posting. We have a section in there for posting your photos, posting your videos, as well as a section in there, you know, in case new apps come out that's free, new updates or anything like that. You can go in there and post it yourself. So if you want to give somebody an alert, you could just go in there and let us know, and boom, it's done.
I just got an invite.
Yay.
Unity. Dude, I'm going to accept the invitation.
And I'm going to make you a moderator so I don't have to do as much work.
Oh, quick, decline.
But yeah, so give that a go. We're going to give that a try. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. But I've been liking Google Plus more and more, which is kind of scary because I've always belittled them any given chance I got. But, god damn it, they've gotten better. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. Maybe the end of the world is coming. So, anyway, let's go into some... I'm stalling for a second. Focus points.
Focus point.
So, Matt, you said you have a long one, so I'm going to go first. Okay. Matt's going to be pretty short. And this is something that I suggested a while back. It's an app on the iPhone called Mosaic. And what this app is a simple way to create a 20-page book album for print, basically. It's a 7x7 album that you can make. And again, it's very simple. I ended up paying just $25 plus the shipping. I don't know how taxes for, you know, other states, but in Massachusetts, for the shipping and everything, it all came to $25 to send. But you basically pick 20 photos from your iPhone library. It couldn't be from your albums. It couldn't be from your camera roll. As long as it's on your iPhone, you can pick it. You could arrange it to whatever page you want. It's one photo per page. And they basically print it and ship it. And it comes in a really elegant package. It looks really nice. It's very, very chic, I guess. And it's a great present. I love this thing. And it's only $25, which is dirt cheap considering the quality that you're getting. The quality of the paper and the prints, I would have to say they're just good. They're not the, like, the photo paper that you would find in, like, a fine art book, but from a scale of 1 to 10, I'd say it's an 8. And it's something that's nice to give. It's a nice little keepsake for somebody. So, for example, say you go to a wedding and you happen to be a guest and you're using your iPhone to take some photos. And you get in the wedding photographer's way, you bump him aside, and then that's probably me going, "Ah, you screw you." Okay, I'm going a little far there. But anyway, it's something to, you know, you can make as a simple gift. You could do it right there, boom, 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 and then bang. You could send it, and within a week they'll send you the book, and then you could give it to somebody as a gift. If you look for Mosaic in the App Store, you'll be able to find it. It's a free download. We'll have a link in the show notes as well. And that's my pick for this week. It's very good. I like it.
Cool. I am definitely going to check that out. I've heard about it before, but haven't really spent any time looking it up. So now you've prompted me.
Very interesting.
Is it my turn?
Yeah, you're up. I didn't mean to say, I said that too quick. It sounded like I said Europe. But you are up.
All right. Europe was better, but whatever. So,
Is that them? Final Countdown? No,
I just don't know. Right, I don't know. I don't know who I don't know who sings anything. I have no idea. 2 weeks ago, I said that I didn't have a focus point, but that I was going to talk about VSCO Cam. And then I kind of lied to everybody because I didn't talk about it last week. But that's because I didn't have a chance to play with it. And it turns out there's a lot to play with in this app. So pretty sure y'all can figure out that that's my focus point.
Spoiler.
Yeah. Oh, there's no sense in going on. So VSCO Cam, it's an app that's been out for a pretty long time. A lot of iPhone photographers know about it and use it, but it recently got a pretty big overhaul, a redesign, if you will. And one of the cool things about it, this is what really prompted me to take a good look at it and see what it was all about. It's free. So, you know, I figured, what do I have to lose?
Right.
So it is a camera app, and it does all the things that you would expect a camera app to do nowadays. You know, the separate focus and exposure. You can lock the white balance, and that's pretty good stuff. And you could do different things with, like, the flash. You could keep the LED flash on continuously so that it just becomes like a light instead of a flash. So that's pretty cool stuff. But I think where this app really shines is in everything else besides the camera. I mean, the camera's fine, don't get me wrong. But there's so much more to this app. So there's a pretty stout library feature, and it's one of the things I'm kind of getting used to. I'm not really used to taking a photo and not having it go directly to my camera roll. This is kind of more like Hipstamatic, where you take a picture and it's stored within its own library inside the app.
Yeah.
But the thing I really like about the library is that you can customize to a degree how big the thumbnails are, so you can make them smaller or larger, so you can kind of have your own viewing experience when you're looking at your pictures. Another thing that's pretty cool is within the library, you could basically sort and filter your pictures. So there's some different filter options for kind of finding the pictures that you want to find, or you could do something like flag, like a bunch of pictures that maybe you decide you want to edit them later, and then you could go in and just pull up the pictures that you flagged so you don't have to scroll through, you know, your whole library of pictures. So that's a pretty cool feature. Now the editing, you know, again, it's something I was kind of skeptical about because there's so many cool apps out there that, you know, have all kinds of filters and all kinds of effects. And, you know, we have Snapseed that we mention in practically every show, you know, that does all the sharpening and contrast and saturation and all that fun stuff. Well, in VSCO Cam, there's 40, I think it's 48 different filters.
Damn.
And you don't get all those filters with the free version. You get like 12 of them or something like that. Now, I paid for all 48 of the filters, and there's a whole bunch of different packs, and each pack is 99 cents or whatever. But I think right now, if you went to their store within the app, you could get all the filters for $5.99. So I thought, what the hell, $6, that's not too bad. I'll give it a go.
How much is it for normal times?
I don't know, but it's more than that. I can tell you that much. It's like at least twice that much.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not too bad.
Yeah. So I looked at all the filters before I made the purchase because I thought if they're, you know, just real cheesy, like if it's trying to be Instagram, I'm not interested, you know? And some of the filters kind of look like some of the Instagram filters, kind of the faded, like old-timey kind of look. But there are a whole bunch of filters that look really useful. And if your style is more less is more and kind of a more realistic, just real clean-looking pictures, I think you would actually like the filters in VSCO Cam. And so the cool thing is you could scroll through all the filters and you could just, you know, kind of keep touching and see which one you want. But then you could go deeper than that and you could make adjustments within the filter and you could adjust, you know, the brightness and the contrast and the saturation and the white balance and all that stuff. So you could really fine tune them and, you know, make them your own, which is pretty cool. And then another feature that I absolutely love, because there's so many filters and whatnot, and it's hard to remember, you know, what you did to a picture, especially if you edited a whole bunch of pictures in this app, there's an info tab, and it'll tell you a whole bunch of image data. It'll tell you, like, the ISO, the aperture that it was shot at. It'll tell you the location if you have the location services on, and it'll even tell you which filter you used. So that's pretty awesome.
Nice.
Like I said, there's a lot of information. There is a store. Like I said, the app is free, but there are in-app purchases if you want to get, you know, more of the filters and whatnot. So there is a store, and then there's a feature that they call Discover. And this is also something that I think is really cool. Kind of reminded me of Hipstamatic in a way. Hipstamatic has a magazine that they put out, like a digital magazine called Snap.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty cool magazine, but this is a little bit different. It does feature other photographers that are using VSCO Cam, so you could kind of get some inspiration and some ideas. But there's also tutorials and on how to use different features within the app. There's interviews, there's all kinds of stuff, and the interface is really cool. Kind of reminded me of Flipboard a little bit, just the way it's laid out and the way it looks, but you can basically just fire it up and you could just scroll up and down through all the different information that's in the Discover tab.
Yeah.
And it's really neat. I wasted tons of time, checking it out. It wasn't a waste of time, but you know what I mean? Just, I spent much more time, in this app and just checking out all the cool, little features than I thought I would.
But that's pretty cool. Sounds awesome.
Yeah. I'm pretty into it. It's kind of a commitment, I suppose, you know, because you can do pretty much everything in this app. And I feel like if I kind of commit to it too much, I'm going to neglect all the other cool apps I have. But I think this is definitely one that's worth checking out.
Sweet.
Especially for free.
Nice.
Free is good.
Very good. So I think we can wind things down. By the way, guys, I don't know if I mentioned this on the show earlier. I don't think I did. But my iPhone took some battle damage over a trip.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I don't know how this happened because I have no memory of actually doing any harm to the phone, but you know the top button on the iPhone?
Yeah.
That doesn't press down anymore.
You know what? Oh, really?
You did mention that on the trip.
Okay, on the trip. That's right. But yeah.
Now, you don't have the 5, right?
No, I have the 4S.
Okay, because I know the 5 has been having issues.
Yeah.
Well, when you weren't looking, I hardly pressed any dirt into your phone.
Apparently, that was enough. Because it looks like it's perpetually pressed down. So now I need to have this old iPhone case that I barely used before. But for some reason, that having that on the iPhone makes that button somewhat active, even though I have to kind of press down on it.
Hmm.
So, battle damage. That new iPhone can't come soon enough. Although my plan doesn't renew until freaking September.
Need a fancy case like I have now.
I need a new iPhone like you have.
That too.
So, boo. Anyway, let's wind things down. Matt, tell the world where they can find you on this awesome interwebs.
On a good day, I could be found on Instagram and Twitter at mhoffmanphoto.
Cool. How about you, Brad?
You can find me on Instagram at BredGeek and also on Facebook at Jeffrey Simpson iPhonography.
Very cool. And how about you, Joe?
You can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferrer.
And you can find me, Mark Sadowski, my brand new revamped website, casualphotography.net. You'll be able to find all my social networking places from there. Google+, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that jazz. If you want to contact Tiny Shutter, just go to tinyshutter.com. Just go to the Contact Us section and go from there. If you want to leave us a comment on any one of our posts, feel free to do so. If you want to find us on Facebook, we are facebook.com/tinyshutter. And we are also on the Twitters at Tiny Shutter. And I mean, feel free to check us out on our new Google+ page, our community. I wish they had something easy to say that I can spit out, but it's a bunch of garbled numbers and
it's linked.
It's linked. So go to tinyshutter.com to find the link or just do a simple search on Google+ for Tiny Shutter. It's we're the only iPhone community out there. That's called Tiny Shutter. I can't say we're the only iPhone community because that would be a blatant lie. However, I could say with extreme biasness that we are the best one, even though
that's right.
Even though I just made it today, so we only have like 7 people. it's a work in progress. So jump on in, be a founding member, and you will feel proud on the inside. That I can't guarantee, but if you can feel good on the inside, then I'll feel good on my inside. And
no, it's very true. I felt a giant sense of satisfaction when I clicked that join button today.
Yay. Here's your big bag of money.
Yay.
What?
I don't have any money inside of it, but anyway, that's all for this show. We'll come back next week with more stuff, more iPhone photography rumors, possibly, because the new iPhone is just around the corner, and everybody's going nuts about all that stuff, especially on the stock scene. Everybody's getting ready to stick the fork in Apple because apparently they're done. I am so sick and tired of analysts berating Apple. Boo. Anyway, I'm just stalling because I can't find my music to end the show. So there we go. See you next week, people.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
That is not the music we end the show with. But that was kind of cool anyway. So here's the real music to end the show.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.